Thanks again. This is called Utopia, and it's another celebration of Shell, Missouri, believe it or not. Utopia. This is the hard land of miracles, land of arias over the fields, land of music made by the god. At morning, land of nerves, land of the tympani heart, savage, struck by the hands of the blind. This is the land of lint and Lee jeans, pockets outturned, begging like dogs. This is the land of bales, of the final storm that bears open the earth, does violence, and in turn is spat upon by its own children. This is the land of early eager kisses. This is the overturned log, it too part of the land, where she offered herself, leaving chicken scratches on your heart. The log of days and nights, the map of the rudderless, and hell-bent, this is the land of celebrations. One boy in a party hat blowing a red kazoo. This is the land of basement homes, where the owners fail, year after year, to come out into the sun. This is the lonely land, land of eminent domain, land of the open palm. This is the land of the greeter in her wheelchair, welcoming you to another land, fluorescent, on the fritz, the new land of the mentholated voice, hoarse and bitten by the crab. This is the land of forgiveness, the land of good horses grown wild from neglect. The paralytic forgives them, and so have I. This is the land where our visions go bucking, land of stirring and beginning, land of the sunset. This is the land of justice, though no land is. This is the land of sincerity and toothache, old eyes searching for a daughter, noses rubbed clean off at the bar. This is the land of ditches, land of the dog's grave, land from which you can never go back, return, land of the pillow that hits the hay, of lightning that can never go home, land of the bleak snow, of waiting at the door, with presence but never knocking. This is the place we were ashamed of, that seems now like so many others, its size and scale reliant on the mind's weather, land of the unmapped, land of my dreams. Thank you very much.
Bill Maurice, thank you so much. I'm going to keep adding little bits and pieces here. Deep Dark Secret, the Shapley beer is available to poets. Please still tip the bartender. Everybody here pretty much is a published author, and I'm assuming has product. And, you know, exchange, sell, primarily cash, I think. There's a money machine across the street in that liquor store, a money machine over there at the bar. And we're going to figure out as we go how to display this stuff better on that table back there. Jameson, who's next?
Buffalo, New York, Leo Ballantine.
Cool name, man. Oh, it gets cooler. Hold on. Julio Montalvo Valentin is the author of 2 chapbooks, Don't Give Up the Ship and Ship Lost. He is an editor and founder of CWP Collective Press. He is a blogger for Plurality Press. Julio is also an editor for Montata Ray, Erie Community College's Literary Journal. He has been a featured reader from New Jersey to New Mexico and many a town in between. Julio has 2 forthcoming chapbooks in 2017. His poems have appeared in various journals and magazines. Julio is a reluctant heart.
Just to clarify, there's a spirit, there's a phantom poet that goes by the name Julio that traveled for the summer tour last year, and so part of me have memories of Dallas, and I didn't really get to go, but I'm glad to see Paul from Dallas over there, and I feel like there's a huge community that I've always been a part of for some reason. But to start off with, I am going to read from a book where many of the poets tonight, tomorrow, and Sunday are a part of, called Recession in Neverland by Tim Murray, and also put together by Jameson Bailey and Chris Lance. So I'm going to read a poem from that. No longer the land where fairies dwell. Setting in the green-eyed horizon, the sun gives its last spotlight to Sade, enchanting her last wares and her Dave Matthews state of mind. Her phoenix feathers came from a couple of friends entrapped in thorns of debt and politics who hoped to detangle from their restraints in their next life. Her shimmering elvish crown was taken from an ex who convinced her that growing up fast was a good thing, but she has to fly coach like the rest of us. Her magical wooden flute crafted after being denied food stamps at the welfare office was inspired by the paint bucket drummer outside and the love potions. The love potions mistaken for lava lamps that she dug through yesterday's trash made her wonder why America has given up on this precious commodity. However, it is no longer trendy to love as we live our lives running on the fumes of economic fear. We, like her, have lost the means to sing the best songs of glory within ourselves, resurrect Gaia from the footprints of our earthly suicidal tendencies, and be the rulers of this life and not the next. But this is the corner of Gray Street, at the end of the world. And here, fairies must barter their dust and dreams for citizenship. I'd like to ask everyone on the count of three, say hey grandma. One, two, three.
Hey grandma!
This past week marks the 10th year since I last saw her, and I had to get my hair cut for her, and so I'm going to read this poem. Grandma's gone. One cup rice, two cups water, packets of foam, and a small pot. One can of kidney beans, two cans of tomato sauce, diced potatoes, and a scoop of sofrito, and another. This is how Grandma taught me how to make rice and beans. But I should have paid attention when she showed me how to make pork chops.
Yeah!
If you miss the shuttle, call a taxi cab. On the Liberty cab ride to school, a speaker on NPR announced through the car stereo that a nearby galaxy just 39 light years away, about the distance between us and humanity's compassion these days, could have seven Earths. Seven whole freaking Earths. That's one for every mega corporation that can afford to go on government tax breaks and souls that they have collected thus far. After all, only the affluent have the power of spare change for space travel and the pejorative sense of humanity anyway. So we can only hope that the belly of the machine that controls us goes hungry, if only to bring back the souls. Maybe when it all goes down, we can grease up our hands and rebuild again and again and again until change is inevitable and inherent. We can do that. But until then, the well-to-do kings will be coming, looking to plunge and plunder new lands like Heaven, Valhalla, Ithilium, Mitlan, any place unmangled under the misconstrued, because dollar signs are easier to read and finger count for worth than protest signs for environmental change and protection. They already got Narnia. Yes, the CGI is amazing and the land is abundant with resources, but none of that is for sale because it's trademarked and already controlled by four white kids, where the girls are undermined by the boys trying to be heroes with their anger issues in all of the movies, just like Hollywood likes it. The Liberty cab driver chuckles and says, "Finally, we can leave, since this world has gone to shit in less than 100 days. I knew where he was going with this, so I didn't respond, because it's all so scary for people like him and I now more than ever. Sometimes the silence keeps it away, like ICE, like space." The two of us laugh once more and play it off as an awkward taxi cab confessional. But then I saw opportunities shining in his eyes. Opportunity like a new start for his family, filled with the new generation to rebuild. A new nation, a new society, a new rules that can fit the new times on a new earth with new air and new water after a new journey. He came here looking for a new life, promised under the American Dream Act. He came here looking for that with his family, but quickly realized that the only new here is discount fast food, music, and products lining the aisles of Walmart. I looked again at his glistening, hopeful eyes and realized only the cockroaches and the poor migrate and survive. I guess the prosperous can only survive so long as money is the key to keep us dreaming, as Kanye would say. At my destination, I pulled out a tip, 20. And thank the man for the ride and home. He said, "I'm grateful, sir. I hope we meet again in the stars. If not, call me, and I'll take you there." I want to ask, what are the worst states for people of difference to live in?
North Carolina.
That's one. Come on, give me four more.
Kansas.
Two.
Kansas. Come on.
Kansas.
The five worst states for a person to live in of difference: poverty, oppression, depression, confusion, united. Thank you.
I'm getting like angry looks and comments from our sound guy going, "Adjust it right for them." Because he's how tall is okay? He's about 6'3". All right. Be conscious of time. We got a lot of people to read. 10 minutes or under, you get bonus points, bonus karma points. Go under a little bit. Take for the team. Who's next, Jameson?
Chris Collins.
Christopher Collins is the book editor at Pittsburgh Magazine, as well as a frequent contributor to the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. He's the publisher of Logos Press and Coleridge Street Books. Collins is the former co-editor of the TNY. The New Yinzer Presents Performance Series, and was the managing editor of the New Yinzer Online Literary Journal from 2005 to 2009, a book of his own entitled King Everything was published in 2007 by Six Galleries Press. and Liturgy of the Streets, published by them in 2009. The chapbook Last Call was published by Steed and Briscoe in 2010. Pennsylvania Welcomes You, 2013, was followed by Local Conditions in 2015, Coleridge Street. I'm just going to say Christopher Cohen, please come up here.
Yeah! Yeah!
There you go. Thanks a lot for inviting us out. Thanks to Jameson. Thank you all for listening. First time in Kansas City. Fantastic. That's the end of my reading. Thank you. This is a true story. This is called I Am Not Khalil Gibran. Mm-hmm. When I worked at the library, this old hippie said, read Khalil Gibran. Read the prophet. Read it to women. Give them poetry. And they will drift into your bed like warm summer rain. And so, like an asshole, I wrote poems. In the library basement, nearly foaming under the big steam pipes, wrapped in sealed and still sprinkling asbestos in my hair, the creaking fishing boats of far Lebanon smashed in the torrent of my churning seas.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've still never read the prophet.
Nor have you made one.
Well, no, that's not true. Be a poetry publisher. It's like printing money. I don't release my tax returns either. This is about a bar in Pittsburgh. This is called Spirit Lodge Saturday Night. When in doubt, return to what you know best, the gorgeous dark 8 steps down, and the violent gaze of an archangel. This warm lacuna, dim with blurry voices, and the boys in the back baking up pizzas, flowers dandering their beautiful beards. The corner vending machine advertising smoke and coke, and the cool contours of the cherry red chopper announce themselves like the very last band to ever play the decade. Like the advent of winter's first freeze, the streets of Lawrenceville are glazed sweet with stuff. An old Allegheny cemetery keeps its secrets stone still. Under the sagging cloth of early January, you say you could drink the bottom out of this town and still have room for one swallow more. More of this black beer beating the glowing bud of your lips. More of this swirling organ aching as a broken femur. More of this dance floor dotted and luminous as a million freshly minted tennis. The Spirit Lodge on a specially quiet Saturday night grants shelter to all the spooky shit that goes bump in our brains, holds its arms wide and welcomes the demons of our damned foolish decisions. We share so much, and yet we say so little. Sequestered here, the new year creeping across Butler Street, calling our names and pointing to the clock. Okay, this is for the poet Jason Irwin, a buddy and a poet. This is called Acts of Contrition. The bell tower burned down the same year my father busted his right wrist, chasing a wobbly foul ball right off the garage roof near Butler and 62nd. And the bells we hear this evening chiming vespers, first grown closer to Cincy than to Morningside Avenue. Nearer the whispering west than to these brown choppy waters that take tugs and all the scrap they haul, concealing them in the shade of metal towers like Washington in funeral regalia, who said too much suffering is never a good thing for any city. His eyes falling tenderly across the scabby wet knee of Millville, broken out in blood and beer and the warning we hear watching the bruised hands of Max Ovanka in prayer. And just as it took only one good day for James Wright to declare the impossibility of death, so this one good shot of whiskey absolves us of the burden of our days. As you become a shadow, fallen across the still surface of your glass, happy to risk the undertow, foolishly assured I or some good stranger here is strong enough to carry you across, should your will give out. This is called North Beach Offering. I will accept this one day. I won't have a choice. The way I spent my time in San Francisco, not finding the St. John Coltrane Church, but staring for hours into the hatched face of Paul Klee's Stachel der Klang. I took coffee in Vesuvio's and Irish beers there too, while across the alley, every phoneme of every word riding my bloodstream gathered dust and gestured to the chapped hands of men older even than my father. We offered what we could to North Beach and dined with 100 librarians, butter caked on their croissants, and the little white plates of a cafe, they were chipped pedestals where the late afternoon sun discarded itself. Just one more.
Yeah,
thanks
one
again.
More.
The baseball poem. It's called Omar Moreno.
Oh, yeah.
What could that have been like? Stadium rimmed with Serbs, Poles, and the Jews, too. Happy drunk, beside big-armed Russians and mellow black cats from Homewood, and the lathered Irish wails from the men's rooms, and each one with the balmy music of your name cresting the tides that poured out of wide mouths, open and crisp as a sluice of the sliced rum, highly seasoned as down south home cooking, and that cartoonishly green pen, swell of rivers in the offing, children wobbling in the stands, fetching beers for shit-faced fathers, raw red from the cheering, aloft in nosebleed seats, with one hand in God's hem and the other down the old man's pants, and not a care in the blessed fucking world. And of course I miss my father. How could I not? When I dream of such a gorgeous scene of deep summer, in this boiling sea of the Golden Triangle. That tender palm of the clement universe, a warmth and a wonder. And my father, far away, out there in the wilderness, Omar. Please, keep that man safe. Thank you.
Paul Konecki's bio starts with Paul Konecki returns to KC. Seriously. All right.
Actually, that's my
little.
I hate bio.
I'm supposed to read
triumphantly returns.
Yeah. Excuse me. Paul Konecki triumphantly returns to Kansas City.
Hey. Stop
it, Stallion. quick TSA. Is anybody parked over here? Go get your car.
Yeah, okay.
No, I mean in the lot. If you're in the lot, do not for the rest of the weekend or the rest of your life, if you ever come to Kansas City, park in that lot. So.